man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden moon boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Welcome to the show, folks. You're tuned into the Trump Phenomenon here on a Thursday, August 10th, 2017. I'm James Kelso. The show is live. And with us are our co-hosts, George on the East Coast. Hi, George.
Good to be here, James.
And Paul Fromm in Canada. Hi, Paul.
Hi, it's good to be on again.
Well, we are going to get into the latest 24 hours of the Trump phenomenon, I thought it would be appropriate to a great man, Ernst Zundel, who sadly passed away on Saturday. He was of a good age, so he didn't live a short life. That's wonderful. But Ernst Zundel died on Saturday. Paul Fromm, is fair to say you're one of his closest friends. Wouldn't that be right, Paul?
Well, yes, and I was his publicist and organized a good deal of his the publicity for him when he was held for 2 years in prison in Canada in 2000, from 2003 to 2005. He was Ernst's significance is that he was a probably one of the best, the most effective publicists of what's sometimes called Holocaust revisionism. That is, taking a second look at the Second World War and often concluding that maybe the Hollywood version isn't exactly true. So,
well, yes, and Paul, you know, I last night and this morning I was watching YouTube videos of Ernst Zundel, and his name, folks, is spelled Z-U-N-D-E-L, and some interesting interviews, one with an Israeli journalist done in 1996, where he talks a lot about his life and very incredibly interesting story of his life. But, you know, in looking back on Ernst Zundel and what we lost when we lost Ernst Zundel, one of the things I noticed in these videos is he would pull out, well, let me put this under the rubric of his library. Ernst Zundel's library, folks, the one he had in Canada, and I think he had to recreate it after a fire. And then he started a new library in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, which I got to visit. The home he was building on a mountain in Tennessee, but never really got to complete that project because of a whole lot of his life was so filled with difficulty, unjust imprisonment, unjust deportation, unjust denial of visas. My gosh, unjust treatment when in prison. But looking back on his life, Paul, the thing that strikes me that's lost with his passing is his this hit me as I was watching him talk about things. He would pull a book down. And then the thing you notice, Paul, is that whatever book he was looking at had sometimes hundreds of post-it notes or attachments or paper clips, hundreds of notations through these books. And what struck me is that Ernst Zundel didn't just read books. He had an incredible library, but he devoured books and absorbed them. The library that he had, the physical library that he had, and then the real treasure that's lost is the library in his mind. He had so much information stored in his mind. Who is it, Paul, who's out there who can replace is that knowledge lost forever now that Ernst is gone?
I don't know. There are some very well-informed people like Germar Rudolph and others, but Ernst was not so much an original researcher of the so-called Holocaust, but he was a publicist. He circulated in the late 70s and early 80s tens of thousands of copies of a large booklet called "Did 6 Million Really Die?" which was which was written by an Englishman named Verrall, and Richard Verrall, and it dealt with the numbers, and it turns out that the 6 million figure is a wild exaggeration, and this helped to make a lot of people think about what's really become a religion, the religion of Holocaust. It's a tribal history, which if it was only for another tribe, wouldn't matter. Any tribe could believe what it wants and makes itself the center of the story, and that's only natural. But the neat little thing that's being done with the Holocaust story is it's being made by at least our elite into their religion, and it has an impact because it's being used to create a lot of guilt, false guilt, which is used to control us. For instance, we're told we're all guilty of the Holocaust. Well, I say as a Canadian or you as an American, well, our country's fought the people who allegedly did the so-called thing. We're the good guys. No. But this religion is a sick religion of guilt, and it turns out that many of its basic tenets just don't hold water. That's why Zundel's figures Zundel's publishing "Did 6 Million Really Die?" really caused a stir, and retribution was swift. He lost his mailing rights in 1982. In other words, he became a non-person. He couldn't send or receive mail in Canada. That it took him 8 months to fight for that, to get those back. Then he was charged under a very obscure law called false news. He went through two trials, an appeal to the Supreme Court, and the law was eventually ruled unconstitutional. But that was 9 years of being gagged. He was under severe bail conditions. So he basically just barely got back on his feet again. He was putting out videos and books and booklets. He was just a communications whirlwind. And then in 1997, under an obscure law, the Canadian Human Rights Commission went after the Zundel site, which was run by an American, Ingrid Rinland, who eventually became Ernst Zundel's wife, and was located in the United States. And my group, the Canadian Association for Free Expression, intervened on his behalf, and we argued, among other things, that you can't apply Canadian law to something in the United States. You've got no jurisdiction. But that didn't deter them. So 5 years later, 57 days of tribunal hearings, numerous trips to federal court to appeal decisions, and Ernst lost. But along the way, we found out that under Canadian Human Rights Act, a law, truth is no defense. Now, that came as a real shock. Truth is no defense. So there goes a basic tenet of Anglo-Saxon law right out the window. In fact, when I was defending another person under the same act, I once, at the beginning of the hearing, when they swore the first witness and said, do you swear to or affirm to tell the truth? I got up and said, and they said, well, what do you want, Mr. Fromm? I said, well, I object. What do you object to? I object to swearing the person in. Why? I said, because truth doesn't matter. Who cares if he lies? If truth is no defense. They didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. But Ernst contributed so many things. Many people in the radio audience will know a woman by the name of Savitri Devi. She's was a mystical writer. Her books are widely read and admired. Well, Savitri Devi was a part, I believe, Scottish girl who grew up in Marseille but spent a good deal of her life in India, and she was an admirer of the Third Reich and was writing after the war, but she fell into very severe poverty, and she was very, very ill. And Ernst Zundel rescued her, recorded hundreds of hours of interviews with her, and those interviews became many of the books that are now out by her. Ernst Zundel's legacy is huge, and in Canada, well, in 2000, moved to the United States to be with his wife, Ingrid, in their place in East Tennessee, around Pigeon Forge, and he applied for a green card. He went through the FBI interview, apparently with flying colors, as we now know from Freedom of Information and the FBI file, which was closed. So they said, there's no problem with Zundel. They fingerprinted him, he had AIDS tests, health checks, and all those things. He was on his way. He was going to have one final interview, and his lawyer said, I can't make it on that date. I will contact the INS, and we'll arrange for another date. Well, the lawyer didn't hear back, so he contacted them again, didn't hear back. So he said, well, these things happen. Dates are frequently changed. Don't worry about it. A few months later, Ernst Zundel's place in Tennessee was raided. Handcuffs went on. He wasn't allowed to take his medication, and he was deported within 2 weeks for having overstayed his visa. Now, this absolute SWAT operation, we believe, was quarterbacked by Michael Chertoff, who was then the head of the Homeland Security. And, of course, Chertoff, son of a rabbi, Israel Furster, this was simply revenge. So Zundel was deported back to Canada. That shouldn't have been a problem, but it was, because the government was under tremendous pressure from the Zionist lobby to deport Zundel. Now, the foot in the door was the changes to the law brought in right after 9/11, and it allowed us to, if two cabinet ministers would say that a person was a terror, was a threat to Canada's security, they could sign a national security certificate and the person could be deported if they were not a citizen. And Ernst Zundel, although he tried to become a citizen twice, was not a citizen. He was a landed immigrant. He'd been in Canada since 1958, a law-abiding person, big taxpayer, businessman, employer, all those things. But he was detained under a national security certificate, kept for 2 years in solitary confinement. The lights were always on. He was treated like a dangerous terrorist, denied some dental care and medical care that he needed. It was horrific for those of us who were his supporters. It was a real kangaroo court. A person who's detained under a national security certificate does have the right to a review by a special federal judge. And the review was a joke, because the review can hear secret testimony, secret witnesses. So as the defense, we wouldn't know who a witness was, and it's very difficult to refute a witness that you don't know, because some witnesses may be credible. But on the other hand, if the witness is the village idiot, that's also important. But we just didn't know. We would get a vague summary of what the witness said in secret. In the end, the public part of the hearing said this. But we got this from Canada's spy agency. For a public record, this is the case, and this is how Ernst Zundel is a terrorist. Ernst Zundel twice went to meetings of the National Alliance in the United States and heard Dr. William Pierce. He never joined, he never donated. However, Dr. William Pierce, as you know, wrote several books. One of them was called The Turner Diaries. Timothy McVeigh allegedly read the Turner Diaries. Timothy McVeigh allegedly blew up the Murrow Building in Oklahoma City. Therefore, Ernst Zundel is a terrorist. Does that make sense? That was the case. It's laughable. Holes all along the way. Many people believe McVeigh didn't do it. But even if McVeigh did it, Dr. Pierce never told him to do it. But even if Dr. Pierce had told him to do it, Ernst Zundel had nothing to do with it. This was the level of reasoning. And if anything, it got worse, because the judge was a man named Pierre Blais. He was a solicitor general in the conservative government in Canada for a while. And that meant he was in charge of the spy agency. The spy agency were the ones who provide most of the testimony at Ernst Zundel's national security hearing. So in other words, the man who had once been the spook's boss was now going to judge the credibility of their evidence. We objected. His first lawyer, Doug Christie, objected and asked the judge to recuse himself, take himself off the case. Doug Christie had to leave the case because his wife was very ill. And the next lawyer, Peter Lindsay, twice asked, demanded that the judge recuse himself. You can't be fair. I mean, not to be paranoid about it, but not only is there a reasonable appearance of bias because you're judging your former employees, but because they were spies, they probably had something on Blaine. Now, I'm not saying that there were skeletons in his closet, but if there were, he would know that the spooks knew. Now, does that leave a person independent? It sure doesn't.
Well, and you know, I was just reflecting on Ernst's death, Paul, and the, he's gone. We have to think about Ingrid Rimland Zundel, his wife in Tennessee, who's now 81 years old. She's a great woman and a great patriot in her cause. And the it occurred to me, thinking about that great library he wanted to build in East Tennessee and the library he did build in Canada and then lost and then rebuilt. Zundel represents what some of the best people we have who are older, will they be replaced? Or, hopefully there'll be young men coming up, young women coming up, who actually work harder and know even more than some of the older people who we're losing. But, Joe Sobrin, is there a replacement for Joe Sobrin or a replacement for Sam Francis? And Ernst Zundel, another one who, he had so much in his brain, Paul, that, simply with him being gone, it can't be transmitted.
No, and that's, that's a big worry. But here is the irony and the vindictiveness of the Zionist who tormented Ernst. He found out a couple of weeks before his death from Homeland Security, the decision was written by an American Jew, that he was be forever ineligible to return to the United States. So he and Ingrid would be forever parted. He could not return home to Tennessee. She cannot go to Germany for real fear of being sent to prison for 5 years. So they did meet from time to time in places like Mexico and the Dominican Republic. So to do this to an old couple, she's 81, as you said, that he was 78.
Yeah, it's really cruel. We've got a break here. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back, folks. And if I, Paul, we mentioned Ingrid Rimland. Folks, if you want to, if you're unfamiliar with Ernst Zundel, and maybe also unfamiliar with Ingrid Rimland, his wife, could go to Ingrid Rimland's, spelled the way it sounds, R-I-M-L-A-N-D, go to her Wikipedia article, and at the bottom you'll find a link, which is Ingrid Rimland interviewed about her life in 1998 by her husband-to-be on YouTube. And there you'll find Ernst and his future wife, Ingrid, talking with each other. That's a really good way to familiarize yourself with both people.
And hers is a fascinating life. She was a Volksdeutsch, that is a German living outside Germany. She was born in what's now the Ukraine, and she fled west at the end of the Second World War as a, I think it would be a teenage girl. She ended up in Paraguay. She was a Mennonite, incidentally. She ended up in a Mennonite settlement in Paraguay, had very little education, but had a disabled son. And to seek help for the son, somehow put money together and went to the United States. And long story short, she was. She found some very sympathetic people. She got an education. Eventually, got a PhD in education. and was an education, I think, psychologist, but a very accomplished woman in her own right. And she discovered revisionism somewhat later, but she was actually writing stories, novels based on her early years. And I think she came to the attention of Ernst, and as they say, the rest is history.
Yes, and the I'll tell you, there's a, I don't know whether Ingrid Rimland ever visited North Dakota, but North Dakota is 50% German by bloodline, and even more specifically, a lot of the German bloodline here in North Dakota is a German-Russian bloodline. That is, they're entirely German, but they're Germans who emigrated here from Russia and Ukraine. Like the Mennonites, who are here, the Hutterites, who are here, but also just general Germans like Ingrid Rimland. So had she visited North Dakota, Paul, of course she's still alive, she still could, she would find find people here who still speak German, a very old traditional German, and it would be an interesting trip for her from her home there, her base, which is in a beautiful part of eastern Tennessee, folks, in the Appalachian Mountains there, right on the edge of Smoky Mountain National Park, and just a beautiful part of the world. And our thoughts go out to Ingrid, who is a great woman, and sad that that her not only her loss of Ernst, but under the conditions of them being forcibly separated by recalcitrant governments that would not act humanely towards these two fine people. If I may, Paul, George is still with us?
George is here. Fascinating discussion.
Yes, and as I say, folks, to familiarize yourself, just go to that Ingrid Rimland's website, Wikipedia's. Go to the bottom link on the whole page, external links, her interview with her future husband, Ernst. Two very fascinating minds in our cause. First of all, open up the phone lines to anybody and everybody out there at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And let me just go over here and even look and see if the engineer's got anybody waiting already. Nope, the lines are open. So if you want to call in, this is your chance. And the speaking of great women in our cause, Ann Coulter is one such. And her column today, Trump Got Your Tongue Media, the title. The current issue of Newsweek, she writes, yes, it's still in business, has a picture of President Trump sitting in a recliner with snacks and an iPad in his lap, pointing his TV remote at the viewer, blazoned with the headline, Lazy Boy. We'll come back with the rest of this biting article from Ann Coulter. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting in a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back, folks. George on the East Coast, Paul in Canada. This is James Kelso in North Dakota. And the we were just beginning a biting article by Ann Coulter entitled "Trump Got Your Tongue, Media?" And she continues, liberals only wish. Last week, the president joined Senators Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, and David Perdue, Republican of Georgia, to announce legislation that would make seminal changes to our immigration laws for the first time in more than half a century, profoundly affecting the entire country. The media have chosen not to cover the RAISE Act, which stands for Reforming American Immigration for Strong Employment. This bill is their worst nightmare. Instead of admitting immigrants on the basis of often specious family ties, the bill would finally allow us to choose the immigrants we want based on merit, with points granted for skills, English proficiency, advanced degrees, actual job offers, and so on. So the kind of immigrants we'd want would be like those German-Russian farmers from Ukraine and Russia, those Mennonites and Hutterites. That's the kind of people we'd want. I'm just interjecting there. Most Americans, continues Ann Coulter, have no idea that we have zero say about the vast majority of immigrants pouring into our country. Two-thirds of all legal immigrants get in not because we want them, or even because Mark Zuckerberg wants them, but under idiotic family reunification laws. The most important provision of the RAISE Act would define family the way most Americans think of it, your spouse and your minor children. Unfortunately, that's not how the third world thinks of family. In tribal societies, family means the whole extended clan, adult siblings, elderly parents, and brothers-in-law, plus all their adult siblings and their elderly parents, and so on, ad infinitum. Entire tribes of immigrants are able to bully their way in, and as legal immigrants are immediately eligible for a whole panoply of government benefits. Suddenly, there's no money left in the Social Security Trust Fund, and Speaker Paul Ryan is telling Americans they're going to have to cut back. At some point, American businesses are going to have to be told they can't keep bringing in cheap foreign labor, changing the country and offloading the costs onto the taxpayer. But that's not this discussion. Business owners want cheap workers, not the disabled parents of cheap workers. In a sane world, merely introducing such an important bill with the imprimatur of a president elected on his immigration stance would force the media to finally discuss the subject they have been deliberately hiding from the public. Has Trump personally endorsed any other legislation like this? I'm going to skip a little bit here. But you see, there's a reason the media don't want to talk about immigration. With a full public airing, Americans would finally understand why recent immigrants seem so different from earlier waves, why income inequality is approaching Tsarist Russian levels, why the suicide rate has skyrocketed among the working class, and why all our government benefits programs are headed toward bankruptcy. As Stephen Miller, the president's inestimable speechwriter, and I agree with that, said, some legislative proposals can only succeed in the dark of night, and some can only succeed in the light of day. This is a light of day bill. In other words, Ann Coulter saying, the American people need and deserve to hear about this hugely important proposal by Trump. So, naturally, she continues, the media refused to mention it, except to accuse Miller of being a white nationalist for knowing hate facts about the Emma Lazarus poem not being part of the original Statue of Liberty. And then here's a great, in parentheses, Ann Coulter writes, it's the Statue of Liberty, not the Statute of Liberty. Media. And a little side note, Kelso interjection here. Emma Lazarus's father was Moses Lazarus was her father. And making that Ukrainian connection, Lazar Moseyevich, which is also Lazarus Moses, Lazar Moseyevich Kaganovich was in fact the last of the old Bolsheviks to die in 1991. He was the killer who was responsible for the deaths of millions of white Ukrainians in the Holodomor, the slaughter of 1931 and 1932. We'll talk about that some other time. But just odd that Emma Lazarus shares her father's name with Lazar Moseyevich Kaganovich, who was called the Wolf of the Kremlin. Continuing with Ann Coulter, they ignore this bill so they can get on to the important business of Trump's tweets. Who's up and who's down in the White House? And Russia, Russia, Russia. According to my review of Nexus Archives, there was only a single question about the RAISE Act on any of the Sunday morning shows. Chris Wallace's last question to his very important Republican guest. Unfortunately, his very important Republican guest was amnesty-supporting nitwit Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, who sniped about Trump employing foreign guest workers at Mar-a-Lago. However that may be, guest workers have absolutely nothing to do with the RAISE Act, which, as Miller heroically tried to explain to clueless reporters, concerns only green card holders, that is, lawful permanent residents, not guest workers, not illegal aliens, and not a poem scotch-taped onto Lady Liberty in 1903. At least the media, she's getting near the end here, at least the media aren't deluded about the popularity of their position. discussing immigration is a total loser for them. They know what they want is not supported by anyone. Low-wage workers don't want hundreds of thousands of low-skilled immigrants being dumped on the country every year. Employers don't want the deadbeat cousins of their cheap workers. Americans on public assistance don't want foreigners competing with them for benefits. Boneheaded Scandinavian communities that welcomed refugees don't want to turn their entire town budgets over to various foreign tribes. In a recent Numbers USA poll of voters in 10 swing states with vulnerable Democratic senators up for re-election next year, only 22% of respondents thought immigrants should be allowed by right to bring in, quote, family, unquote, other than spouses and minor children. Make the senators vote, Mr. President. Donald Trump was elected president, beating the smartest, most qualified woman in the world, by proposing to put Americans first on immigration. This bill makes good on that promise. There's a reason the media won't discuss it. And she says, if I were Trump, I'd talk about nothing else. So the great column, as always, from Ann Coulter, a great, great writer, as is her fellow writer, to whom she gives a tip of the hat there, Stephen Miller. Some of these great speeches from Trump, including, I think I read the unbelievable speech in Kaczynski Square in Warsaw, Poland, by Donald Trump. I believe Stephen Miller was the speech writer on that one. Lots of Donald Trump in all of his speeches, but a great speech writer like Pat Buchanan does affect the, does make a great speech even greater. So there you go. Let me see. Turn to the caller board here. See if anybody wants to talk about Ann Coulter's ideas about the RAISE Act, which Paul and George correctly identified as hugely important. It's the biggest change in American immigration law in 52 years. That is, Trump called it over 50 years, which is 52 since the 1965 amendments authored by Senator Ted Kennedy and Congressman Emanuel Seller of New York in 1965. That was the year I graduated from high school. Probably close to about the same for you, Paul.
Yeah, 66, right.
And George, you were probably just a twinkle in your daddy's eye.
77, not too far away.
But the
I am old enough to remember Jimmy Carter and LBJ.
Okay, very good. Very
that's
good.
Not really saying anything good, but yeah, that's how old we are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the well, there you go. Let's see what's another great story that's up now. Here's a wild one. One of the things we are hoping for on this show is that Donald Trump, George has mentioned it, recess appointments. Let's get these. What a president can do when the Senate and the House go into recess is the president is thereby freed up to make as many appointments as he would like, and they simply go into effect since there's no Senate to confirm or deny those appointments. They just go through. Well, what you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe what the Senate did, what Mitch McConnell's acting like a real twit lately. Pollster and political analyst Pat Caddell spoke with Breitbart News Daily Sirius XM host Alex Marlowe on Thursday, today, regarding Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's complaints about President Trump's expectations for a Republican Congress and the president's tough talk on North Korea. Caddell said, the McConnell stuff I found just amazing. I mean, McConnell's talk the other day, so condescending to the president. Here's the wildest one. Look at what the Senate did. It didn't even recess so Donald Trump could appoint recess appointments. Can you believe this? Mitch McConnell engineered it so that they adjourned without going into recess, leaving Donald Trump's hands tied. Caddell says, that's what the Democrats would have done. They would have gone into recess. All these positions he can't move through the Senate, He could have appointed them the day they recessed, but they made sure he couldn't. They stayed in session, technically. So this is, you know, this is a stab in the back from Mitch McConnell to Donald Trump. And, you know, what do they say? He's got some splaining to do?
Yes.
I mean, this is just a gratuitous stab in the back. You know, Donald Trump could have made so many. I mean, who knows? He probably was planning. He probably had a folder full of recess appointments ready to go. Probably spent a lot of work on that folder and a lot of staff time assembling the people in that folder. And Mitch McConnell, again, you know, this is brain dead. Did he call, you know, this is your president, Mitch McConnell, a senior senator of Kentucky. Did he give a courtesy call to Donald Trump saying, you know, I think I'm going to go adjourn without going into recess? How does that sit with you, Mr. President? You can be sure he did not make that phone call. So in other words, Donald Trump got cold-cocked or T-boned by Mitch McConnell. This is kind of what happened to him with the recusal of Jeff Sessions, who didn't make a phone call. The Rod Rosenstein, who didn't make a phone call when he appointed Mueller. This is unbelievable failure to understand a chain of command, Paul.
Yeah, and it really undermines him. And this has got to be deliberate.
Yeah, I mean, I say I misunderstand a chain of command. Of course, that's not what it is. I mean, I'm way off on that. This is, you're right, Paul. This is all deliberate. It's sabotage against our president that we elected. So the I think these people that sabotage our president should feel our wrath. And you know, I don't know exactly how we would express that, but here we are on this radio show expressing it. Mitch McConnell, you're a twit, and thousands of people just heard that you're a twit. And they all, and all of them are shouting in unison, yes, he's a twit.
Well, there was an article or two out there saying that, you know, Don can go ahead and try to appoint anyway.
Oh, yeah. Really? Just regard this as being in recess?
Yeah, saying, you know, you're fraudulently, you know, taking off without being in recess, and I'm going to make my appointments anyway.
Okay, very interesting. All right, and you know, this folks, this is why you listen to,
you know,
Three Minds.
Two can do cheap shots,
right?
And there's nothing to worry about, James. You know, the White House email incoming was down for a couple days, but it came back up this morning, and I wrote to Don. I told him, Don, please fire the Attorney General and the Special Prosecutor, and he got right back to me and said, "I'll get right on it."
Well, now here's another. We mentioned
that was tongue in cheek, Gene.
Oh, I know. But Donald Trump does listen to. He does hear you, George, on this show. I guarantee you, Donald Trump is tuned in to this show frequently. Here it is. But you know, folks, it only needs to go this far. If people who are connected to people who are connected to Donald Trump listen to this show, that's good enough. And the here's on that Jeff Sessions story, here's Donald Trump. I'm not firing Robert Mueller and no collusion with Russia. That's the headline at Breitbart. So here's an update. We've been talking about it. Here it is, the latest from our president. President Donald Trump dismissed the notion that he was considering firing special counsel Robert Mueller in the ongoing Russian investigation. This is a quote from our president today. I haven't given it any thought. No, I'm not dismissing anybody, he replied during a press conference with reporters in Bedminster, New Jersey, today. The president urged the Mueller team to, quote, get on with the task, unquote, of concluding the investigation, denying again that there was collusion between his campaign and Russia. So he's going that tough it out route, George and Paul, knowing there's nothing there. Continuing the article, we're working with him, Trump said. We have a situation that's very unusual. There was no collusion between us and Russia. The president said he instructed his staff to work with the investigative team, admitting that it was possible that they forgot to file the proper paperwork, but that he was not worried about the investigation's conclusions. Quote, we have an investigation of something that never took place, unquote, Trump said. Trump ridiculed the notion that Russia had anything to do with his election victory. Quote, I didn't win because of Russia. Russia had nothing to do with me winning, he said. We had a great team, and I guess I did a great job, unquote. Trump also responded to the news that the FBI raided the home of his former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, as part of the investigation. Now, folks, I'm reading this for the first time. This is my first glance at his reaction, and I'll save that with a little teaser for after this break. Stay tuned.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why don't we liberate these United States? We're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first.
Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who has
We're back, folks.
First?
And we're in our last segment. Let me get to here's President Trump's reaction to the Paul Manafort search or FBI raid and seizure of documents in his home. Apparently this did not get publicized right away, Paul and George. It occurred on July 26th. It was an early morning raid. So Paul Manafort was probably in his underwear. And this is what Donald Trump said about it. He said, Trump responded to the news that the FBI raided the home of his former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, as part of the investigation. Quote, I know Mr. Manafort. Haven't spoken to him for a long time, but I know him, Trump replied. Trump called Manafort a decent man, his words, but suggested that he probably made money from consultants, quote, all over the place, unquote. Trump admitted that news of the raid was surprising. Quote, and this is the only reaction we have, I think that's pretty tough stuff, unquote, Trump said. So that's all we have, Trump's reaction to the Manafort raid. And the there's more on the raid itself that the investigators in the Russia inquiry have previously sought documents with subpoenas, which are less intrusive and confrontational than a search warrant. I'll say that, yeah. With a warrant, agents can inspect a physical location and seize any useful information. To get a judge to sign off on a search warrant, prosecutors must show that there is probable cause that a crime has been committed. So probably Paul and George, probably Manafort didn't declare some fee on a tax form or something of this nature, and that's the probable cause.
Is that a parking ticket?
Yeah, the parking ticket. And now what they will do with Manafort is, you knew the phrase button men, Paul. They're going to put the squeeze on Paul Manafort. And so it'd be interesting to see. It's going to be very interesting to see. But we got President Trump's initial reaction. We're going to run out of time. That's about all we can squeeze into this, and promise to be back with you again tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen. There will be another incredible 24 hours of this, this flood of news. As Ann Coulter said, the RAISE Act, this is an incredible thing that hasn't happened in our lifetimes before, and the media is giving it total silence. It never happened. It went into the memory hole, Paul.
Yeah, that's the mainstream.
Well, we'll be back with you tomorrow night, pulling things out of the memory hole here on the Trump Phenomenon. See you tomorrow, folks.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. ANGIOPRIM. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.